We return this week to our series on the practice of Christian hospitality. And what I would like to do for us this week is to bring together some of the strands of what we've been talking about to present four key motives for our practice of Christian hospitality. I think that it is important to remind us here that hospitality is not entertaining. It's not like entertaining as like a Martha Stewart sort of approach, where we put out our finest china and serve some gourmet meal. It's not trying to impress your guests. Rather than impressing them with hospitality, we're seeking to love them and welcome them and make them feel comfortable. The term hospitality refers to love for the stranger, but this does not mean merely somebody whom you've never met, but someone who's not your actual biological family, someone who's then welcomed into your home, who is treated like family and made to feel like family. The biblical term and biblical use is really very broad. And so, yes, it can be applied to actual strangers, but it can also be applied to someone who's in your local church. So we've surveyed some key examples of hospitality in the Old and New Testaments thus far, and we've surveyed some key texts that teach on this. And I've tried to make very clear that this is not like an optional practice for Christians. It's not some spiritual gift for a few, but rather it's a key expression of love that we are to have for one another in the church and also toward those who are outside the church. This is supposed to be a central practice to Christianity. But we might struggle to employ this practice and to press onward. And so I'd like to distill four things that could motivate you to do that if you find that hospitality is lacking within your life. And so first, our first motive, we have received already God's hospitality. This is our first and primary motivation for showing hospitality to others. By grace, we've come to know that we were strangers in Adam, but God has made us family in Jesus Christ. We have been adopted as sons and daughters. We are already heirs of an everlasting inheritance. We have the Holy Spirit of sonship now dwelling inside our hearts. We may now address the Father as our Father. We're given a set of keys to God's house and invited to enter and draw near in prayer. We each have our own room inside that house, that heavenly place, where Christ is preparing a place for us. As we increasingly appreciate this divine gift of His hospitality, we want others to experience the same joy and privilege, even in just an earthly fashion. We know the joy of being treated as God's family, so we want to extend that joy to others and treat them as our family. I hope you see that we are motivated by way of analogy. We discover the joy of belonging to the heavenly family of God, so we want others to discover the joy of belonging to our earthly family. Of course, we hope that they end up becoming heavenly family as well. Our first motive for being a hospitable people is that we have received God's hospitality. Our second motive, we have discovered that our neighbors bear God's image. This is massive. On one hand, through the gospel, we come to love God, so we must learn to love His image. On the other hand, this truth helps us to discover commonality where we otherwise see difference. Our culture wants us to view people in ways that divide us from one another, such that we see primarily differences and otherness. So we are catechized by our culture to make skin color primary to our identity. We are catechized by our culture to make sexuality into identity. We are instructed to view people in terms of earthly privilege, as if that is one's identity. But the Bible teaches us to view people fundamentally as image bearers of God. Thus, we are far more like people than the world would make us think. We are far more like those others than the world would like us to realize. That makes it a lot less scary to welcome them into our homes. For example, a woman tells you that she's a lesbian. The culture tempts you to then view her as fundamentally lesbian, for that's how she views herself. But God gives us a different view of this woman through his holy word. She is fundamentally an image bearer of a holy God. Thus, you have far more in common with her than you might be led to think. Because of the gospel, we have come to love God, so we love his image and recognize that people are fundamentally his image bearers. Our second motive for being hospitable is that we have discovered that our neighbor bears God's image. Our third motive for being hospitable is we have discovered that the Christian is already our family. Recall here the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. Recall what Jesus said to the apostles, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. Recall how the apostles speak of other Christians, brothers and sisters, and fellow members of the household of God. This is not some peripheral thing in the New Testament, and it's not even peripheral to the Old Testament. Recall, Israel is the house of Israel. Abraham is the father. Yet many of us are more accustomed to being part of churches that did not act or feel like a family. Many young people have expressed disillusionment with traditional churches because there was a lack of authentic relationships there. This is largely what spawned the house church movement, a quest to not just say church family, but to act like it. Families know each other. Families protect each other. Families take care of each other and eat with each other. And in the church, we find eternal family, not the merely temporary bonds associated with biological family. Contrary to common expression, water is actually thicker than blood. That is, the water of baptism is thicker than the blood of biology. Our third motive for being hospitable is that we have discovered that the Christian is already family, and eternal family at that. Our fourth and final motive for this week, there is more to our guests than meets the eye. In Matthew 25 that we've read before and noted before, we see there that Christ is bestowing a kingdom on the last day when he returns. Those that showed hospitality will receive the bestowal of the kingdom, while others who did not show hospitality will be cast aside as hypocrites. Recall what Jesus said about the food, drink, and clothing that was provided to the stranger. He said, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then he went on, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Who are the brothers? It cannot refer to those whom Jesus is about to cast into eternal punishment. His brothers are the true Christians, the church. The preceding chapter of Matthew warns the church that an age of tribulation is coming. This tribulation would include famines, in other words, hunger and thirst, and also the arrest of Christians. They would be delivered up to tribulation, even death. In other words, what Matthew 25 teaches us is that our hospitality toward Christ's brothers is hospitality toward Christ himself. There is more to our guests than meets the eye. As we welcome the body of Christ into our midst, we welcome Christ into our midst. Something similar could be said about the teaching in Hebrews 13, which reminds us that Abraham and Lot showed hospitality to angels, but they were unaware of that at the time. Hospitality seems like a very base and humble thing. It's not flashy. It's not very convenient. But God blesses it with his presence. Our fourth motive. There is more to our guests than meets the eye. Well, I hope these things are helpful to you as you think about implementing the practice of Christian hospitality even more in your Christian life, as you think about seeking to love those in your church family, and even those who are outside your church family. May we give ourselves over to this wonderful practice according to these various motives we've considered, that first, we have received God's hospitality. Second, our neighbors bear God's image. Third, the Christian is already our spiritual family, so we might as well treat him like that. And fourth, there is more to our guests than meets the eye. Well, if you've liked this and you would like to listen to other episodes, check us out at cincyreformed.org. Let me remind you to subscribe to this podcast if you found this to be valuable. Give us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate that. And once again, this is Cincy Reformed Podcast. We are sponsored by Ascension Reformed Church and also the new church plant we are launching, Christ Reformed Church in Northern Kentucky. So check out those churches on the internet. For the time being, Ascension Reformed Church can be found at westsidereformed.org until our new website is launched. And you can find Christ Reformed Church, NKY, by just looking that up on a quick Google search. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Hope to see you next week. I hope these things are a blessing to you. Bye-bye.